Well, hello. Thank you for joining us. I'm thankful that we can meet together, especially as we go through times that we're living in, times that are very dangerous and deceptive, very uncertain, very frightening. And I'm thankful we not only get to meet with one another, but most of all that we get to meet with our Lord, that we can seek Him and His grace and His strength. And so let's take a moment to go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this day. And, O Lord God, thank you for who you are. Father, that you are the living and sovereign God. Lord, we come here today. Father, we need to hear from you. Father, I ask that you speak to us. Lord, not only give us an understanding of this psalm, but, O God, of you. Help us to grow in our relationship with you, our ability to trust you. Lord, our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we live through these times, we have to wonder, how do we get the guidance and the strength that we need? We know, obviously, it comes from the Lord. But how do we experience that? How can we experience His guidance? How can we experience His strength and His nearness? And we see this as we come to Psalm 27. David's going through another one of those times in his life that were very dangerous, very difficult. And yet throughout this period, there was a confidence in God. And we read this psalm and we think, well, how, with so much on him, how, with so much that he was going through, was David able to have confidence in the Lord? And as we look at this psalm, certainly we see what enabled David to do that. But we see the lessons about what we need to do to be able to experience God's guidance and strength and confidence, even in the midst of the storm. And so what was it that David did? What is it that we need to do? Well, first of all, we need to see the Lord. That is, we need to see Him. Yes, in His greatness and His power. And we need to, in fact, see Him instead of all that's taking place around us. So often we focus on the storm and the wind and the waves. We need to keep our focus on the Lord. We need to see Him. Think of what we read in verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I will be confident. It's obvious that David's facing tremendous problems. He speaks of evildoers, adversaries, enemy encampments. He talks about war. And yet for David, there was no reason to fear, no reason to dread. There was an assurance of victory. There was confidence. How? Well, look at what David saw. Verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? David knew God's power and His greatness and His glory. And he saw God in His greatness. And when he saw God in His greatness, and when he looked upon God in His greatness, his problems were in fact cut down to size. We need to look at God. It needs to be looking at Him needs to be the focus of our Christian walk. Who is this God? And when we begin to consider who this God is and we look upon Him, it changes everything. And it needs to be our priority in a crisis. Do you remember Peter? Remember when he sought to walk on the water? Everything was fine until he took his eyes off the Lord and he began to see the waves. He began to feel the wind. And at that point, he began to sink. He needed to keep his eyes on the Lord. We need to keep our eyes upon the Lord. We need to see the Lord. But not only do we need to see the Lord, we need to seek the Lord. Think about what we read in verses 4 through 8. One thing I have asked from the Lord, and that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. For in the day of trouble He will conceal me in His tabernacle. In the secret place of His tent He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, eyes shall seek. Did you hear the driving force in David's life, the driving desire in his life? It was to know the Lord. Verse 4, one thing I have asked from the Lord, and that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. And he knew he could, because God invited him to that. And in fact, God commanded him to do that. Again, verse 8, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. And so David, in fact, did seek the Lord. God commands us to seek him, even in the midst of needs, even in the midst of problems. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Even in the midst of the problem, we need to seek the Lord. God wants us to know him and to be growing in our relationship with him. That's the whole point of salvation. It's the whole point of God's creation of man. God created us to be in a relationship with him. Through sin, we lost that. But the whole point of the redemption was to bring us back into a relationship with God, for us to know him, for us to be reconciled unto him, for us to be adopted as his children, and for us to know him. We don't think about it as often as we should, but Christ himself is the real treasure of Christianity. And knowing him is the real purpose of our lives. We sometimes talk about, finding out our purpose. Well, our purpose is to know the Lord. Now, obviously, he'll have a unique calling and a unique ministry for each of us. But the desire, the purpose of our lives, what we seek, is very simple. We need to seek the Lord. But not only do we need to see the Lord and seek the Lord, we need to also, number three, cling to the Lord. Think of what we read in verses 9 and 10. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. And the idea there of verse 10 is even if everybody else turns their back on me and abandons me and leaves me, the Lord never will. Even parents, even if my parents were to turn their back on me, the Lord never will. Even if my mother, and we talk about the love of a mother, even if she were to abandon me, the Lord never will. There's only one sure, unfailing source of help, strength, and guidance, and that is the Lord himself, and we need to cling to him. Do you remember Jacob, after his experience of living with Uncle Laban? And you remember as he made his way back to the promised land? You recall Laban was behind him, Esau was ahead of him, and a man wrestled with him at night. And you recall the angel was actually the angel of the Lord, that means it's the Lord himself. But do you remember the change that took place in Jacob? He went from trying to fight that man off, because the last thing he wanted was another fight, to clinging to him. My friend, that's exactly what we need to do. We need to cling to the Lord. He's our only source of strength and security. Not long ago, I listened to a message, and actually listened to it on the radio, but the pastor who was preaching, and he was at a conference and was sharing of his experience going to the conference. And he shared about the fact that they had one of those horrible flights that you don't want to be on. It was absolutely horrible, went through a terrible storm system. The turbulence was awful. And to be perfectly honest, he was somewhat anxious and nervous about it. But he looked over and he saw his youngest child, apparently what we call, a lap baby, actually there asleep in the arms of her mother, in his wife's arms. And he said, what a tremendous picture of what we should be like in the arms of our Lord. I mean, that child did not bother that child in the least that they were at 30 or 35,000 feet. Didn't bother that child in the least that there was a storm system. Didn't bother that child in the least that they were going through all that turbulence. The child was safe in her mother's arms. Child of God, you are safe in the Father's arms. And no matter how bad the storm may be, and I'm not trying to minimize it or take away from it, no matter how bad the turbulence is that you feel, and I'm not trying to take away from that, you are safe in His arms and you need to cling to Him. Just as, and this is that pastor's point, just as that child clung to its mother and was completely at peace, even in the midst of a horrible storm, we need to cling to our Lord. But then we need to follow the Lord. That means we need to walk in obedience. Our strategy, our plan of action, needs to be very, very, very simple. We simply need to follow Him. Now, obviously, He'll lead us to do things, and we need to be prudent and wise and on task. I'm not taking away from that. But the mindset is that we're simply going to obey the Lord and follow Him. Think of what we read in verses 11 through 14, especially verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Look at David's plan of action in this. It's to follow the Lord. He says in verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path. How are we going to get through these days? By following the Lord. What are we going to do? We're going to obey Him. There's only one way in that we can get through these times or whatever circumstances you're going through, and that's, in fact, by walking in obedience. Do you remember Israel's experience in the wilderness after God had brought them out of Egypt and was leading them to the promised land, going through a very dry land, a very harsh land, a very dangerous land? And yet in reality, the only thing they had to do was to obey the Lord, was to follow Him. The pillar of fire by night, the cloud by day, all they had to do was follow. Child of God, step by step, day by day, circumstance by circumstance, situation by situation, we need to follow the Lord. We need to simply do what He has led us to do. And like David, we need to say, Lord, teach me and lead me, because our commitment is, in fact, to follow. Our need in these times is great, but our God is so much greater, and we can rest in Him. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much for this day, and O Lord God, for who You are, the great, faithful, almighty God. Lord, enable us to see You. O God, may we seek You. Lord, may we cling to You, and may we follow You. In Jesus' name, amen. And even though these are difficult days, our God is great and wonderful. And I do hope that you have a wonderful day in Him.